talk about something. Real talk radio, ain't no funny. A church, no thought walls, a hottest talk show. Real talk at the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin'. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
up.
Talk, what's Dr. Davenport?
Cut out all the lights, see the light. Gap pulled over, see the brights. What you doing on the street at night? Wonder if they're gonna read your rights. 13th Amendment, three strikes. Made a left when I should have made a right. Told God last time on life. Told the devil that I'm going on a strike. Told the devil when I see him on sight. I've been working for you my whole life. Told the devil that I'm going on a strike. I've been working for you my whole life. Nothing worse than a hypocrite. Change, he ain't really different. He ain't even try to get permission. Ask for advice and they dissed him. Said I'm finna do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. They'll be the first one to judge me. Feeling like nobody loved me. Told people God was my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'd be the first one to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. Make you feel alone in the dark. And you never see the light, man. You never see home, man. You never see the domes. I can feel it when I write, when I'm living in the right. If they only see the wrongs, never listen to the songs. Just to listen is a fight, but you book me for the fight. It's so hard to get along if they only see the slight from the love of religion. What are you being from the Christian? They'll be the first one to judge me. Make it seem like nobody loves me. I'm not trying to lead you to Jesus, but if I try to lead you to Jesus, we can call halfway believers. Only halfway read Ephesians. Only if they knew what I knew of. I was never new till I knew of true and living God, Yeshua. The true and living God.
Let me breathe me.
Kanye West. This is Real Talk Live with Dr. D, and I am he, and I thank you for joining me on this All Hallows Eve here in America, the 31st of October, 2019, and the hits just keep on rolling. Of course, the easy topic for today, the easy point of conversation, should the church celebrate Halloween? And I will get to that in about 2.5 minutes, but before I want to give some more context to this Kanye West situation, since Kanye West seems to be the most popular person to talk about in social media today concerning the church. It's relevant to us to continue to talk about it, and for me, to continue to shine a light of perspective on what the Lord is doing with this man, or what this man is doing for the gospel. The song that is played is, again, a chorus called Hands On. Fred Hammond's in it. Fred Driscoll, Vin Diver, Aaron Butts is the name, and Timothy Mosley are given credits for writing this particular song, and it's a powerful song. I take it as a personal anthem from Kanye as a rail against what the church is doing. He says, I said I'm going to write a gospel album, but what are you hearing from the Christians? And that is powerful all in itself. Here the lyric says, told people God was my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me, make it feel like nobody loved me, make it feel alone in the dark, and you never see the light. Man, you're never seeing a home, and you'll never see the domes. I can feel it when I write. Point of living in the right, so they only can see the wrongs, never listen to the songs. Just to listen is a fight. But you with me for the fight, it's so hard to get along if they only see the light from the love of religion. Or should I say, if they only see the slight from the love of religion. But what have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me, make it seem like nobody loved me. He says, I'm not trying to lead you to vice, sis, but if I tried to lead you to Jesus, we could call halfway believers. Since I heard the song, if I played it and listened to it again at the rebroadcast of this episode, or I'll go ahead and download it from your reputable sources of downloading music. And again, it's just, you know, that's a powerful statement. I'm being judged by the Christians, and I'm saying my mission is the church. It makes me feel like nobody loves me. And I can't see how any real born-again baptized believer can hear anyone, Kanye or anyone, make a statement like that, that your actions are making me feel unloved, and think that we're standing for Christ. I don't know how that works, but to each his own. Again, this is a Real Talk Live, Real Talk with Dr. D and All Hallows Eve. As promoted, before the end of the broadcast, I'm going to give you five things that I believe terrify every believer. We're going to get to that in a few seconds. But let's talk about this Halloween thing. In our Bible class last night, it was mentioned that an atheist is noted for saying, and when it talks about church folk, really Christians, celebrating Halloween, it was said that Christians celebrating Halloween is like an atheist going to Good Friday service. You never hear it. You never hear about it. And that's true. And I think it speaks to the bigger issue that we as people of believers, let me say believers, because Christianity, as I said yesterday, is the epitome, right, of our faith walk, of our culture. It is very attainable. It takes work. A lot of people claim the title but have not fit the description, right? So we're going to talk about believers. We kind of go along with anything. Even All Hallows Wing. Now, true enough, if you're like me, you grew up trick-or-treating. Your parents didn't know any better, or simply didn't care, and you went trick-or-treating just like I did. But the Bible teaches us that we know better, we're supposed to do better. And so the question now comes in 2019, do we celebrate? Now, you know, like I know, a lot of churches have taken this and turned it to Harvest Festival, the Hallelujah Night. It has become an opportunity, which I think is smart marketing, to have something at the church house to keep the kids off the streets and to give them something fun to do in the confines of Christianity so they don't feel left out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I really don't. I plan to go out and give out candy from the church. I've done it the last couple of years. So those people out there, even the world, can get some safe treats. Because even back in my day, people were doing all type of foul things to candy and giving it to children, blades and poison and all that nonsense. So if we can give away some things to some kids, they can have some fun. I'm fine with that. And no, there's no decorating. There's no pumpkins, no spooky dressings around our church. And I won't be I won't be dressed up either. I might go dress as a preacher man. I said to the church, I'm going to go dress as Carl Winslow. But be that as it may, I have no problem with that. But I don't know if I don't know the threat. My children don't go trick or treating. I don't know how that line can be thread for you. You know, you have a household of believers, or at least a household where the parents are believers, and they send their kids trick or treating. I don't know how they thread that needle to say, okay, you can go trick or treating, but you're not celebrating the holiday. Halloween is based on scary, being scared, scary stuff. Demons and goblins, all that. Even if you're one of those people that call the demonic aspect of Halloween super saved, even if you're one of those people, you have to admit that fear is a candidate, or fear is a factor for this holiday. You know, to be afraid, that's part of the allure. Some people believe that fear is fun. Okay, it's true. Not everything scares everybody. Fine. But you also have to understand that fear is the one emotion, the one symptom, if you will. But the Bible plainly said that we did not get from God. He did not give us a spirit of fear. And so we take this opportunity on All Hallows Eve, Halloween, on All Halloween, All Hallows Eve or Halloween, to promote fear, what the Lord didn't give us, and that's a conflict of interest. And so I will be real interested to hear how that conversation is held, or even is held. Do parents teach their children, the children in the household of faith, born again believers? Do they teach their children the difference between Halloween and Christianity, or is it all the same? Is something that's just ignored? Is it something that's done because it's always been done? 516-666-9488 is the call-in number. You can call in and be live on the air with me, Dr. D, or the chat room is open. I try to facilitate some of these comments into one place where I can kind of read them online. So if you're on www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. D Live, you can join the show. And you can actually participate in the discussion via the chat room and add your comments there if you so feel, and you so feel inclined to, and we will address them here on the air for the next few minutes that we are on. So Halloween, do your children celebrate it? Is it a conflict of interest? What say you? Again, 516-666-9488 is the number in which you can participate in response to those questions. And you can do that there, like that, then. All righty, then. I do want to acknowledge the passing of Congressman Elijah Cummings a few days ago, and then we lost John Conyers and a few days after that, and then recently, yesterday, comedic legend, I want to call him Pops, but his name is John Witherspoon, passed away at 77 years old. So our prayers go out to the families of those in bereavement, not just them, but all over the world, dealing with the loss of loved ones. Right now, know that our thoughts and our prayers with you sincerely. And we know that people you've never met have you on their minds. So I'm asking those that are listening, to make sure that you whisper a prayer for those families. And again, not just those, but all the ones around the world that are grieving with loss and bereavement. They're still sick among us. And it's one thing we try to advocate at our church, is just because you see us personally or see us present at a service or at the church house does not mean that we're not going through something or dealing with something. And so if everybody prayed for everybody else, then by far everybody will be prayed for. And so we encourage the prayers of the righteous that avail of much, according to the Bible, to cover one another in times like these and every day, because we are under the scrutiny of the devil, principalities, or what have you, all the time. And quite simply, we can use all the help we can give, and that's everybody. Amen. All right. So I got that out the way. I want to, again, address these five things that I say terrify every believer. Get out of here, Kanye. Get out of here. All right. Shifting gears here. Let me get this pulled up. I apologize. I'd like to be a little bit more organized in this. But I'm under the gun. And let me say this while I'm transitioning. You be thankful to people who motivate you to be you. I know motivation and encouragement is very, very important. It's vital, especially when you're trying to bring something together that you're still trying to hold together with the palms of your hands. That motivation is vital. So if you got people in your corner that's pushing you and motivating you, thank God for them. Make sure you pray for them. And then let them know that their encouragement is needed and appreciate it, because we don't have to have it, right? So let's make sure we do that on this, put that out there on this Thankful Thursday. We're going to call it that, as well as Halloween. Halloween! Ooh! I was going to play some music from Halloween movies, but I never really understood Halloween movies with Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers. I never understood how they could be that old and still doing the same thing. I never could understand it. I didn't understand. I didn't know if he was human or the demon, like if Michael Myers is a demon like Jason from Friday the 13th, which is an old man who just was strong. I don't know. All I do know is from the movies, he will walk slow and choke you if he caught you. And that was enough for me. But anyway, I digress off of that. But I was going to play some music, but I did think I thought better of it. All right? All right, here we go. Five things that terrify, I don't know about every believer, but I know most of us can equate, can really relate to these, I think, in some way, shape, or form. Five things that terrify a believer. Number five, if people don't like you, God won't use you. If people don't like you, God won't use you. That is a fear that people carry, and the danger in that is that we begin to acquiesce and to compromise and to give in and surrender our principles and convictions, because we really don't want to alienate people, because there's this inherent belief, I'm going to say, that is issued and propagated by the devil, that if people don't like us, God won't use us. And we won't find it anywhere in Scripture. There's nowhere in the Bible where the leader had to be liked or a person had to be liked to be utilized by God, because God chooses us and places us for our assignments and missions before the people we're going to lead or associate with or even consider, because the Lord knows what he's doing. And so I want to say that's false. God will still use you, whether people like you or not. But that does not mean that we can treat people any kind of way, or be nasty to them, or present a character that's unfavorable, because we don't want to shine a wrong light on God and his work. All right? So that's my feeling. Number four, exposure from sin brings destruction. Exposure from sin brings destruction. And I want to kind of cut this right, because, you know, the Bible tells us that men are overtaken in the fault when we're enticed by the lust of our mind. That's when sin comes. And the Lord promised us to give us a way out of every situation. But we don't take that way out every time. And so we fall over in sin, and then we in it, and now we want to come out. There's a space where we want to come out of sin. We realize it's wrong. Our spirit man is vexed, and we want to stop it. But now people who maybe we're sinning with, they have a hand over us, right? They got some power over us, because they can expose us, expose our dirt to the world or whomever we care about, however that works. And we just so afraid. Hear the devil whispering again. Yeah, if they expose you, then God's going to destroy you, and you'll never survive. You'll never recover. And I'm going to tell you, that's not true. Just looking at the media over the years and different clergy and different business people that have gotten caught up in scandals, yes, they're hot. They're the topic of the day for a while, the flavor of the month, if you will. But true repentance will bring deliverance. True repentance will bring results. God does not throw us away. He chastises us because he loves us. He wants us to learn and grow. But that does not necessarily mean that exposure is going to bring your destruction. But it is something that we fear. And when we do that, I think we put too much in our emotional self, our emotional state, than we do looking at what God will do for us and what he has done for us. All right? Number three. There's more than one side to a story, and your side may be a little off. We get so locked into a narrative, become so dogmatic into a narrative, that we don't think any other side exists. And a lot of times, and I think this is a maturity thing, the side that we believe, the side that we hold true, we think that's the only side, and there can be no others. And oftentimes, our side can use a little scrutiny, a little sprucing up, amen, a different change of perspective. We may not be all the way wrong, but we may not be all the way right either. But we find ourselves in situations where we get so dogmatic, I'm going to say it again, so dogmatic in a thing that we can't seem to get past that. And it winds up hurting us and even hurting our point of view. Like the Kanye thing. People, I say it's jealousy. I'm going to say, keep saying it's jealousy for a lot of people, not for everybody, because they make different size wrenches for a reason. One wrench does not fit every situation. That's true. And I found also there are very few situations, amen, that are just black and white, you know. And so that's why each one has to be looked at individually, gauged that way, and then handled that way because they're individual situations. So there's more than one side of the story. Somebody hurt you, and they hurt you, and then you find out that you did something that caused them to hurt you. Now, what you did, in your opinion, was not meant to be hurtful. And that was not your intent at all. There was no evil at all. And maybe you were misunderstood in what you did. However, that does not change that other person's reality. No matter if I brought you chicken. I thought that you would like chicken. But you're offended by the chicken because I bought you extra crispy and you wanted spicy. You know, and that's a whole other thing. We get the maturity and all of that and looking past all that and being appreciative and all blah, blah, blah. True enough. However, my point is this. Sometimes we need to look at a bigger picture than the picture we're looking at. And in that, we'll be a healthier people. We'll grow more. We're more open. And when people see that about us, we'll become more easily to approach and more easy to talk to. There's more than one side of the story. Yours may be a bit off. That was number three. Number two, if you're not showing appreciation for your works, then God is not glorified. If you're not showing appreciation for your works, then God is not glorified. That is something that people feel. I felt that. I used to think that too. And I got to tell you, people, the appreciation of people does not necessarily reflect the glory of God. And a lot of times, it doesn't at all. One has nothing to do with the other in a lot of situations. Some people don't appreciate what you do because they can't see what you do. They take you for granted. In a sense that, oh, you're supposed to do that, and that may not be right or wrong. Part two of that is you may have taught them to take you not to appreciate you because you didn't stand up and really demand the value that God put on you for them. And I understand that too because a lot of times people won't stand up and request, dare I say, demand their value because they don't want to be viewed as arrogant or prideful, you know. And so people will, again, I said all the time, we teach people how to treat us. And so you get to a point where you're working and you can feel, it's not a speculation, and you can see that people don't appreciate you because appreciation is shown, not just said. Appreciation is like love to a degree. It's an action thing, right? That doesn't mean you have to have a banner and with your name on it or, you know, people, you know, lay their jackets on the ground for you to walk across. I don't mean necessarily all of that. But based on relationship, people who have a relationship with you know how to show your appreciation, even in the smallest things, right? And so, again, when you don't get that, that does not mean God's not glorified by your actions. And so what I'm advocating is this. If you're, again, for the gospel's sake, in the church, for the kingdom, whatever lot God puts to your hand, whatever vocation you find yourself in, whatever title, whatever function, whatever responsibility is yours, every day that you get up and you push yourself to go do it, every day, first of all, if you start pushing too much, then something's wrong. If all you're doing is pushing to go there, pushing to do this, pushing to get it done, something's wrong. Because you have to ask yourself, where's the joy of that thing? Joy doesn't require you to push. Responsibility requires you to push. Joy makes you jump out of bed. Joy makes you, okay, let's go, got to get this done. There's an excitement. There's a thrill. There's a feeling of accomplishment. So if you're pushing, pushing, pushing all the time, maybe you're tired. There's a whole host of reasons of why you're pushing. But if you're pushing, 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 and all you've been doing is pushing for so long, and it's time to readjust. Something's up. And if you don't get it adjusted soon, then you'll find yourself in situations like these where every little thing will aggravate you, put you off, make you standoffish. People don't appreciate me. Although I was doing this before they got here, or doing this with them, or I'll be doing this when they leave. Now they don't appreciate me, and now I'm going to use it as a reason to stop. Well, again, that doesn't reflect God's glory. And what I was going to say is that in that vein, what you and I have to do is when we're working and we're jumping up and we're pushing, remember who we're pushing for. And we're pushing for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're pushing to promote his church. We want to make sure his church in this situation, his church is the best we can make it be. We want to make sure that the people, when they come, if you're janitorial, if you're setting up, if you're ministerial behind, if you're phase two, and most of your work is behind the curtain, you want to make sure the house is good so that the people who may be a little weaker than you, when they show up, they got less distractions. They can come in and feel comfortable in the house of God and fully give themselves over to the service so God can minister to them, help them, bring them out, deliver them, restore them, teach them, guide them, give them hope, increase their faith, or set them free. And so remember, that's why we do it. We do it for a bigger purpose, because you start doing what you're doing in service, for lip service, it won't last long. Your motivation will not last long. You will begin because you're human. You're human. You have emotions. You go through things like everybody else. Sometimes wake up tired. Sometimes wake up sad. Sometimes wake up with other stuff on your mind. So we have to look to God and look to him solely to be pleasing unto him. And really put that in our spirit, on our hearts. And if we do that, then it will help motivate us to keep doing what we're doing. Okay, because men are fallible. Grandma, grandpa, my dad, pastor, lunch lady, first lady, lady at leg, whomever that we admire, whomever God is using to inspire us, we can't solely put our motivation on them, because when you get raw, because you're weak, when you get tired and your patience are frayed, one little thing from that person that you admire, that one person that you use for inspiration, that one person that you use to motivate you, will turn you off completely. And you'll really put the fault on them, because in this instance, they were the straw that broke the camel's back. And it really wasn't them at all. It just, there was some adjustment needed to be made with you, mentally, maybe spiritually, for a while that was never addressed. And so again, just because people don't show you appreciation, that does not mean within itself that God is not getting his glory. As a matter of fact, there's a preaching note that says this: after you preach and you preach the Lord's word and did what you're supposed to do, sometimes you come out the pulpit and you feel a little raw or empty. Sometimes you feel like you just failed. But like what your eyes have seen and the testimonies from the people that you kind of discern were past emotion, that you really felt breakthrough, you really felt revival, you will come out the pulpit and feel empty and feel alone and feel like you did something wrong. I've been told, and I teach, and I believe, in those instances, God got all the glory. So what I'm saying is feeling good about your ministry does not necessarily an indication that God got the glory. Just like people not patting you on the back does not mean that God does not get the glory. God gonna get the glory from a work well done. When you prepare the best you can and you do the best you can for the assignment you got on your life, the task that was put to your hand. When you do that wholeheartedly, full throated, with the goal of pleasing God, God will get the glory. Period. Because you got like that. Number one, five things that terrify a believer. Number one, is my light shining? We are so, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, we are so cautious of how we're viewed because we don't want to be a stumbling block to other people. We want to bring glory to God. Here's from part two. Number two, is my light shining? Do people see God in me? Now, everybody don't feel the way I feel for the true believer because, again, you don't want to be a stumbling block. Is my light shining? I hear people are saying things about me, and I know how that can have an effect on people's mind. Is my light shining? And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to close point one like two. If you're working, if you're living sincerely in the Lord, you ain't got to worry about your living being in vain, nor your service being in vain. The Lord will shine through you to people who's looking for the light. Light shining in darkness, darkness comprehended it not. So, no, you won't see it all the time, but every now and then you could be minding your own business. Come on, early testimony. You just got saved. You just got converted. You just got real. Although you're new in it, you're at the grocery store. The cashier says, go to church. At the gas station, people walk up to you. What church you go to? You had your mind not on Jesus at the time. You watched that doggone gas price thing clock because you want to make sure you're getting all your oil, right? All your gasoline. Your light shines. All you have to do is be sincere to your lifestyle. Be sincere to your lifestyle in Christ and your light will shine. And you ain't going to worry about nobody telling you how bright you are because you ain't trying to throw shade on nobody else. So don't worry about that type of thing. Be anxious for nothing. All things in prayer. And it does take prayer to live a sincere life. It does take real prayer. And that's what the enemy, when he comes to attack us, when we're on the good foot, we're doing the good thing, and we got our motivation, and we're rolling. That's why he comes after us. He comes after our joy, our praise, and our prayer life. And not always in that order. Because the devil knows what we need to be strong. So he tries to hinder that so we can't get our strength. When our strength goes, then our feet get to wobbling and our knees get weak. So don't worry about it. Every day, live a sincere life. I'm going to represent Christ as best I can. And I'm not giving myself any corner to make God look bad because he's been too good. Yes, I'm going to get tempted. Yes, I'm going to encounter things. Yes, these things are happening because I'm still in my flesh. But I'm going to every day, again, with a full-throated conviction, effort to bring my God glory. But the life I live, I said that, bring my God glory. Hallelujah. You got to worry about it. Just keep doing you in him, and he will see you through. Amen. If you're going out, hallelujah night, you're going out anywhere today, be mindful. Because every mask, every gruesome face, every mouth of face you may see may not be a mask. Be mindful. Be careful. Be as wise as serpents, harmless as the doves. Let your light so shine. The light of Christ will shine through you and repel most demons. Some principalities may try to give you a trial, but you stand your ground in faith. Know that the blood still works. Hallelujah. I felt that all in my shando. The blood, this still works. I'm not going to preach, but it still works. And it still changes minds. It still alters environment. It still shifts atmospheres. It still heals. It still protects. It still covers. The blood will never lose its power. And it reaches. Yeah, God help me. To the highest mountains. and it flows. Yes. Yes. Hello. Okay. Listen. Listen, the blood still works. I feel that. I'm about to shout in here. The blood still works. Those are five things that I think terrify every believer on this All Hallows Eve, Halloween 2019 here in America. I am Dr. D. You be you. You've been listening to Real Talk Live with me, and I thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you on the next go-round.